turn with me once again for our introductory text to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, this time chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Son, by whom he had made all things, who being the brightness of his glory. Turn with me again to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We see in the beginning, the first day of creation, what was made, what was established, what was brought into the world was light. Light. And yet, we go all the way to the fourth day before we find God establishing the sun, the moon, the stars, and those lights that we're familiar with, the lights that we understand are the source of the sunrise and the moon and the stars. These lights that give light upon the earth. It was the fourth day that these first came into being. And yet, on the first day of creation, we see the Lord saying, or God saying, let there be light, and there was light. And this light of the first day, not the light that we know of, not the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars, but the light of this first day of creation, this was a light that was called good, and it was a light that divided from the darkness, and it was a light that was called day, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And certainly, to the inquisitive mind, one would ask, well, what is this light? If the sun and the moon and the stars were not established until the fourth day, then what is this light of the first day of creation? What is it? What is its source? What does it represent? Well, as you begin to do a word study of this passage, you begin to see that it's a light that is distinctly different from the light of the fourth day. It's not the same light. It's different in nature. It's different in character. There are actually two different Hebrew words that speak of the light in these two different passages. In the first day of creation, when it says, let there be light, it's the Hebrew word our, O-W-R. And it's the word that speaks of the beaming of light, the rays of light. The focus is not on the object, the being, the source of light, but it's on the demonstration of the light, the showering of the rays, of the beams of the light. That's the word that is used there for let there be light, and there was light. Now, when we come to day four, we find a different Hebrew word. It's the word ma'or, M-A-apostrophe-O-W-R. And this is the word that's used to identify the luminous being itself, the actual planetary or orbital body, the source of the light. And so it's totally different and used different in the Hebrew language to present a totally different concept. We find them both described and used together in verse 15 of this chapter. Let's look at that together. It says, let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven. That's ma'or, light in the firmament of heaven. To give light, that's our, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So you see the two different Hebrew words used there. Let them be for lights in the firmament. That's the object, that's the being, the celestial being. And the reason they exist is to shed their light, to shed their rays, their beams, upon the earth. So you have these two different Hebrew words giving us two different concepts. And so we come to first day of creation, and it says, let there be hour, let there be light. Let there be beams and rays of light, but the object of light has not yet been created. The sun, the moon, and the stars have not yet been brought into being, but the rays of light are present. What is this light? Well, I want to suggest tonight that it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take this lesson tonight to hopefully demonstrate from Scripture that the light of creation, the light of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the light of the first day, 3 days before the sun, the moon, and the stars were ever brought into being, was the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The brightness of His glory, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seen on the first day of creation. It is interesting as you look at how the text begins, as we've noticed this morning. The text doesn't begin with the preposition in. It begins with the noun title, God, Elohim. God created the heaven and the earth. Elohim, not singular form, not dual form, but three or more. It's the Hebrew plural form for three or more. And so we see right away God in three persons, God the triune God, created the heaven and the earth. And so right away we're introduced to a God of three personalities. We're introduced to the triune Godhead in the very first word of all of Scripture. And then may I suggest in the next three verses, in the first three verses of all Scripture, we have the entire Godhead presented to us. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God the Father, certainly, as the first member of the Trinity. And then we have in verse 2, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. There's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, mentioned in verse 2. And then in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I suggest for you this evening that that is the second member of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God, the first word of all Scripture, and the next three verses give us the presentation of these three members of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the source of all things, the Holy Spirit, the energizer of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the revealer of all things. I kind of wonder if maybe the Apostle Paul had this in mind
as he penned the words for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 6. It starts off very similar to Genesis 1:1. For God. And then notice what it says about God. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Well, that sounds like Genesis 1, 2, and 3, doesn't it? Hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. Possibly Paul thinking something similar as well. It's interesting that you have the first recorded words of God the Father here in Genesis chapter 1. What were the first words? What were the first words that God the Father uttered, recorded by the Holy Spirit, preserved in the Word of God for us? The very first words. The narrative begins in verse 3. And God said, what was the first words of God? Let there be light. That was the first words that God uttered in the history and the recorded history of Scripture and mankind. Let there be light. And then the narrative picks up again and gives us the response to those first words that were stated by God the Father. And the narrative tells us, and there was light. Light appeared. God the Father spoke, and light appeared in response to his statement. What's the first recorded words of God the Father in the New Testament? We see what they are in the Old Testament, the first covenant. What about the New Covenant? Well, we come to Matthew chapter 3. We see the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized in the River Jordan. We see him coming up out of the river. We see the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove resting upon him. There's the second member of the Trinity on the third member on the second member. And then it says, and there was a voice from heaven, Matthew 3:17. A voice from heaven which said, this is my well-beloved Son, hear ye him. This is my well-beloved Son. You see, it's as if this is the second time he is bringing his Son into the world. This is the second time that he's recognizing the entrance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. It's as if the first time he called his Son into the world in the first day of creation, and he said, let there be light. And the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shone throughout all of creation and provided a light for all the world until the fourth day when the firmament and all of its beings were created. I want you to continue to consider this by looking at the use of the word hour as it's found throughout the rest of the Old Testament. How is this special word that is used for this miraculous light, this special light? It's not the light of the sun, the moon, the stars. It's a special light, a light that God called into the world, a light that appeared by the very voice of God, this special miraculous voice, this special miraculous light in response to the voice of God appears on the first day of creation, and it's called hour, the rays of light. Well, how is this word used elsewhere? Well, the next time we find it, it's in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, the children of Israel are being led out of Egypt, being delivered by the hand of the Lord, and the Lord is going to guide them. And how is he going to guide them? By a miraculous light, by a supernatural light. It says in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night by a pillar of fire to give them hour, to give them light, to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This was a special light. This was a light that on one side, as it faced Israel, it shed the light of God's direction. It was a light that moved, a light that stopped, indicating when they were to break camp, when they were to set up camp. And yet we see in the very beginning, in relation to Egypt, in relation to the pursuers, the enemy, my, it was a shield unto the light. It was darkness on this side, and it was light on this side. It was a supernatural light, our, that was brought for the very purpose and function of accomplishing the will of God for the nation of Israel. When we move on through the Old Testament, we see this light appearing once again in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 37. Here we find it described as the light that came from the lampstand that was in the holy place. In verse 37 it says, "Thou shalt make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give their hour, their light, their rays over against it." Here we have a holy light, a light that was in the holy place, a light that was that that represented the very witness and the very truth of God. It was a light that symbolizes in symbol and in type the Lord Jesus Christ in many, many beautiful ways and attributes, as you see its nature and its construction and its function within the holy place. Such for the historical books. Well, how does the poetical books deal with this Hebrew word, hour? Well, let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we'll look at the first verse. Psalm 27, verse 1. The psalmist David says, "The Lord is my hour. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" The psalmist David goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and he takes that supernatural light of the first day of creation. He takes that word that was reserved for this special light from God that he called into the world when he said, "Let there be light." And the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." This is the testimony and the declaration of the great psalmist David. And so we see how the poetical books handle this Hebrew word. Well, what about the prophetic books? What does the prophetic books declare? Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And we'll see how the word is found there. Isaiah chapter 60, and beginning at verse 1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." Hour! "For thy hour is come, thy light, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy hour, to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Look at verse 19 as it speaks of the future yet to come in the millennial kingdom and in the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. It says, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting hour, light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." And so we see, whether we go to Moses and the prophets, whether we go to David and the poetical sections, whether we go to the prophetic books in Isaiah, we see consistently throughout the Old Testament the Hebrew use of this special word that occurred on the first day of creation when God said, "Let there be light." It was a supernatural, special light from God Himself. And as the writers of the Old Testament begin to develop the truth, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to adopt it in the use of this word, our, this word, light. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I want us to look at the function or the character of this hour, this first day creation life. And I want you to see four things in relation to this first light of Genesis 1-3, because I think that each one of the four things that is said about this light speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we want to reference and look at is the responsiveness to the commands of God. As we said earlier, the voice of God declared, "Let there be light," and instantaneously there was light. The first thing we want to notice is that this light was obedient to the Father's command. This light was submissive to the will of God the Father. This light was submissive to the commands of God. And it certainly reminds me of a time in ages past when God the Father, establishing the work of redemption before the foundations of this earth, declared, "Who will go for us? Who will go and take upon themselves the sin of the world? Who will go and represent mankind as a substitute for their sin and there satisfy my holy wrath and reconcile them back to myself? Who will go for us?" And in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I believe we find the Lord saying, "Here am I, send me." One who is obedient to the Father, one who is responsive to the Father's will, one who has said of the Father that this is my beloved Son and He always pleases me. He always does those things that please me. Boy, what a great father and son relationship. Many of us have sons and many of us are sons with fathers. And I wish I could say of my own father that I did always those things that pleased him. You know as well as I do that I didn't. I have a son. I wish I could say of him that he does always those things that please me. Well, if you know David, you know that's not true. But he's still my son, and I love him dearly. But here is a son in relation to the Father who was in perfect obedience, in perfect submission, always doing in responsiveness the Father's will with perfection. And with completeness. Let there be light! And there was light. It was immediately there. And then number two, we see that this is the first thing that God ever referred to as good. The first thing that He ever called good. We see this phrase repeating several times in the creation account, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. The first time we find that it was not good is when we see mankind all by himself. Man, Adam, alone, and he needed a helpmeet. And that certainly is not good when we are alone and need a helpmeet. But the first time the Lord uses this phrase, he says, "It is good." He saw the light and he said that it is good. It was good. Verse 4. And you know, that certainly describes our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring your attention back to the psalmist and look at a series of verses that describe our Lord in the Psalms. The first one is Psalm 25 and verse 8. Psalm 25 and verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way." Good and upright is the Lord. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 86 and verse 5. 86 and verse 5. "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." And then finally that very familiar Psalm 100 and the last verse, 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." That was just a quick sampling of the occurrence of the word good as it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture is full of this word as it describes our Lord. He is certainly good. The first thing
that God ever called good was the light that appeared in response to His command, "Let there be light." But then number three, what was the function of this light? What does this light do? Well, we see that it says in verse 4 that it divided the light from the darkness. This was a light that made a distinction. This was a light that, as it were, drew a line that separated, that made a separation between that which is light and that which is darkness, that which is day and that which is night. We see that is clearly the work of our Lord, and we see Him described all through the New Testament in this fashion. But just quickly, a few verses for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" You'll see those that are of the Lord Jesus Christ are called of the light. Those that are not of the Lord Jesus Christ are called of the darkness. There's only two kinds of people here this evening. There's only two kinds of human beings sitting in this room. Those of you that are of the light and those of you that are of the darkness. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and those that don't. You see, the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is to make a distinction, to separate light from darkness. Light represents that which is good. Darkness represents that which is evil. And we see our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who exposes evil for what it is and brings truth to the world. And so we see this metaphor used numerous times in the New Testament. For instance, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5:8, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. It says that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And so you see this theme, this metaphor that is used to describe our Lord Jesus Christ consistently follows the pattern that was established in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, a light that was responsive to His command, a light that was called good, a light that separates light from darkness. And the fourth thing that we see with regard to this light in Genesis chapter 1 is that it was given a name. We see that it is called day. In verse 5, "And God called God called the light," this special supernatural light of the first day of creation, "He called it day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Well, we see that as well. It speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ over and over. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, we read, "Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." And look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1:19, "But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, if you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Well, this clearly is the Lord Jesus Christ, the day star, the day dawn of truth through the very Scripture itself. And so this theme that runs from Genesis all the way through Revelation, this metaphor of personifying light, this word "our" that represents the rays without focusing on the material object, clearly, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But let's look into the New Testament and see what is said of the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. As the second time the light came into the world, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And light came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second time, God the Father and the Holy Spirit is going to bring the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And what is said of him when he first comes into the world, when he's first born of a virgin through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life of Mary, what is said of him at that time? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, we read this: "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring," he's been called the day star, he's been called the day dawn. Here's the day spring, "from on high hath visited us." That clearly is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see the text, "to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel." We see as well John's testimony in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. How does it read? How is the text presented? "In the beginning," John picks up the very verbiage of Genesis chapter 1, "in the beginning," only this time the focus is on the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. "In the beginning," and he picks up the second member of the triune Godhead, of Elohim, and he focuses on Logos, the expression of the Father, the witness of the Father. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 1. He is the express image of the Father, the effulgence of his glory, the brightness of his glory. This is what's in focus. What does John say of him? "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," notice capital L, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Oh, it's very clear that the light here of John's Gospel, chapter 1, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's from the words of our Lord and his own testimony in chapter 8 and verse 12. What does the Lord say of himself? "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am." One of the great I ams of John's Gospel. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." And may I suggest that the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, first shined in this world in the very beginning of the process of creation. He was the light that lighted the world before the sun, the moon, and the stars were ever established. He was the light of the creative work of the full Godhead there in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Let there be light." Well, I want to just turn our attention to the end of the passage, the end of the Scriptures. We said this theme goes from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ as the light. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. You know, the study of Genesis in relation to Revelation is a wonderful study. They're the bookends of Scripture. Genesis lays the foundation stone. Revelation lays the capstone. In the beginning, God, Elohim. How does Revelation begin? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see these two books in many beautiful ways complement themselves.
as Genesis establishes a truth and reflects to Revelation, Revelation completes the truth reflecting back to Genesis. A host of comparisons and contrasts that evolve between the study of these two books. And I believe it actually relates to one of the great titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first letter of the Greek alphabet is Alpha. The last letter of the Greek alphabet is Omega. The written word, the expression of God's word revealed to mankind in man's language. And the Lord says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. And I think the whole context of those titles could be summed up in what he's saying. You'll see me in Genesis and you'll see me in Revelation. And the thought is that you'll see me all the way in between. From A to Z, I am all that Scripture represents. We see our Lord on the road to Emmaus, and my, I would love to have heard that typical study. I would have loved to have heard that message that our Lord gave to the two as they walked along the road. And he says, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. And I often wonder, when he began that message, when he began that talk, that discourse with those two on the road to Emmaus, if he didn't begin at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, when he said, and my Father said, let there be light. And I was the hour. I was the brightness of His glory. I was the rays that illuminated all the creation. I was that revealed the work of the Father. I was that permeated into the darkest crevices of all space, matter, time, history, and there the darkness comprehended it not. I was the light of the world, and I was the light that came to everyone that came into the world. Possibly that was the introduction to that typical sermon on the road to Emmaus. But now we have the end. Now we have the completion. We come to the book of Revelation. We see in the book of Genesis, there was the light of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the first day. And then we come 3 days later to the fourth day, and the sun, the moon, and the stars are established by the word of God, spoken into being there on the fourth day. The sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world first, and then second, followed by the orbitary beings that we know of in the celestial skies of today. Well, the reverse is true. Many times Revelation takes what Genesis has and undoes it or reverses it, brings it into fulfillment, what was lost, and that type of thing. And here we see a similar thing with regard to light. We come to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, speaking of the glory of this temple, the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty and the Lamb of God, this dwelling place, this temple of the very presence of God on high in eternity to come, a place of our dwelling. And it says in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. You see, here's the reverse order. Genesis brings the Lamb in first to lighten up the world on the first day of creation, and then it gives us the lights of the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But Revelation reverses that process. What Revelation does now is say, okay, now we don't need the light anymore. We don't need the moon. We don't need the stars. We don't need the sun because we have the eternal Lamb of God. We have the Lamb of God that from an eternity past to an eternity future is the light, the manifestation of the glory of God. And there is no need of these other things. Lest the Spirit of God would be concerned that we missed it, it's repeated again in chapter 22 in verse 5. It says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun,
That's Ma hour. For the Lord giveth them light. That's our hour, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall reign forever and forever. And so we see what the Lord started in Genesis, He beautifully completes in Revelation as we find ourselves going off into the sunset of eternity, a timeless age. And in that timeless age, we will forever bask in the radiance and in the rays and in the glory of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't need any other light. He will be all the light to us. Well, I trust that you are in the light, you're children of the light, you're walking in the light, and you know something of the light that God commanded to shine out of the darkness into your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that Satan has not blinded your eyes, has not restricted the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ from shining into your life, but that you've been responsive and have obeyed the light as the light has revealed the truth. With regard to your sin, with regard to your need for salvation, and with regard to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And yet when he was ready to leave, as he left, he transferred that responsibility. He now tells us, we are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because, you see, we are in the light. We are in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. He's the light of the world, so naturally it would follow that we are the light of the world as well, because we are in Him and He in us. If He's the light of the world, then we're the light of the world. If He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, then we're the stars of His family. We're the stars of His kingdom that shine and reflect the glories of the great Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we do a good job in reflecting His light. May we do a faithful job of testifying and witnessing for Him and letting our light shine so that He might be honored and He might be glorified as He has given us opportunity to do so till He come and we enjoy His eternal light forevermore. Shall we just be dismissed in prayer? Our Father, we do thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who was ever obedient, even unto death, the death of the cross, One who willingly allowed Himself, as it were, to be made darkness for us. And oh, how we see the darkness of even the sun stopping to shine for 3 long hours as the sun, Your Son, endured our penalty for our sins as He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Oh, the darkness of that agony. Lord, You shielded that from our sight as the light of the world was made dark for us. As He became darkness, and there took our place as we in darkness existed. Lord, we're thankful for the light that shines, the light, the resurrected light, the glorified light, and the eternal light yet to come. We thank You, Lord, for Your work of redemption in our life and shining Your light of the gospel into our hearts, and by faith we've accepted it. Lord, we pray if there's some here this evening that have never accepted the message of the eternal light, the Lord Jesus Christ, might they this evening be transformed from darkness into Your marvelous light and become children of light today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.